them into paradise, and say, he led them captive. He set them free. I thought how amazing it was. I believe it was Brother Ed this morning mentioned about that thief on the cross. And when that thief on the cross died, he didn't go to heaven. He went down to paradise, which is that place, that holding place for the believers in the Old Testament. I said, I wonder what it was like for that thief to walk into paradise. And maybe for Abraham to look at him and ask a little bit about him. What happened? There was a Jew on a cross named Jesus. And he ain't far behind me. He'll be here, I don't know how long, but look, he ain't too much further behind me, if he understand what I'm saying. And I'd just like to hear in paradise, I bet all Moses and I bet Abraham and I bet all of them said it's almost here. We're almost getting out of here. Amen. We're going to be resurrected. We're going to go with Jesus into the skies, the first fruits of the resurrection. Amen. I praise the Lord. It's just wonderful to be here. God bless you. And let's get into the Word this morning. I could talk and talk out of excitement, but I want to get into the Word. 1 Corinthians 15 today. And this is known as the resurrection chapter in the Bible. It's what it's considered, the resurrection chapter of the Bible. And man, it's amazing to read through it. It's quite a lengthy chapter, and it is, I believe it's 58 verses, but I ain't reading all of them. So just rest assured. And don't frown, I might. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
And this is what it says beginning in verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain and your faith is also vain? Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so that he the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. I'm going to preach this morning. Just give me a few moments. Give me your attention, please, just while I preach. And I'm going to preach this morning on what if Christ did not rise? What if Christ did not rise? And my intentions in this message, I want to present the hopelessness that we would be in if our Savior did not get up from the grave. I want to do that for a few moments this morning. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to You in prayer, we appreciate the opportunity to preach Your Word. We thank You, God, for everything that we have read this morning in this text. And God, we know that we have need of You this morning. We know, God, we need Your strength to preach. We need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. God, no doubt there may be a sinner in the building. And Holy Ghost, I would that You send conviction straight to their hearts. I would that You would play to the Lord this morning. There be no games played. That the heart of every believer would be edified. Lord, that hopelessness, God, and joy would be presented in the same message. And with Your anointing and Your joy and Your Word, we would see something accomplished for the kingdom of God in this service. And Lord, we'll give You all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, we love You with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. What if Christ did not rise? You understand today, when dealing with the resurrection, if we're not careful, we will make the resurrection of Jesus Christ a footnote to His suffering. Understand today that the resurrection is the high point. The resurrection of Jesus Christ and everything connected to it has our salvation embodied in it. Every promise that would hold through time and eternity is linked intrinsically into the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'd also like to present to you this morning is that the world does not mind saying that Jesus died. But the world does have a problem in saying that Jesus got up. I don't know if you noticed a trend throughout the world. It could be a clipping or some sort of movie they would make. They would put so much focus on Jesus dying, and rightfully so. I mean, so much happened there. But when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they may throw it in there 30 seconds or so. And the reason is this, friend, is because many people do not mind saying, look, Jesus was alive. Jesus was a real man. Jesus was here on earth. They don't mind saying his, because history points to that. They don't even mind arguing the fact that Jesus died on the cross. But I tell you, the world will argue tooth and toenail with you when it comes to the fact and the principle that Jesus Christ got up from the grave. Understand, the resurrection has massive implications. Everybody dies, but only one had the power to get up from the grave. Everybody dies, but only one had that power to be reunited with this body when it did not see corruption and get up from the grave. It is obvious to the enemy of our souls that the resurrection is critical. It is the very linchpin that holds our faith together. If he did not get up from that grave, we would not be here today. If he did not get up from that grave, I'm going to explain to you this morning of what would have happened, the hopelessness in the life of the believer. Hear me today, friend, because there are many, understand, many people who argue the point that Jesus rose from the grave. And when we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is something that Paul is dealing with in this chapter of the Bible known as the resurrection chapter. It has 58 verses in this single chapter, but it embraces the great realities of Christ's resurrection. It embraces it. Understand, Paul was dealing with people that was skeptics of the gospel. He was dealing with people that were skeptics of Jesus getting up from the grave, and also the body and the resurrection of the saints in the future. And that's why he said this in 1 Corinthians 15 and 12. He said, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? You're in a category this morning. Hear me today, friend. Because there are always people who deny the resurrection. There are always people who doubt the resurrection. And there always are people who mock the resurrection. But more than that, there are always people that are indifferent to the resurrection. It doesn't affect them. It doesn't excite them. There's no joy there. They don't come to Easter service on Sunday morning and say, I can't wait to be there. Come on. They can't do it. They're doing the whole time, I guess I'll go this Sunday. You know, it's Easter and the lilies are going to be out, and it's just, you know, maybe some trees are bloomed on the way to the church. Be a nice view. Understand, there's many people that are indifferent to the resurrection. But what Paul was trying to get us to understand here, what would have happened if Christ did not rise? And with the Lord's help from this morning, I'm going to present 5 points to you that I hope will stir your soul and will excite you as a believer to embrace it more than you ever have embraced it before. Understand, if Christ did not rise today, friend, what would have happened? What would it have been like? What would your life be like right now? Understand, the first thing that Paul tells us here, he said, if Christ did not rise, the first thing he says is this, our gospel preaching would be useless. Paul was saying, if he didn't get up from the grave, my preaching is pointless. My preaching is to no effect. Why am I even wasting my time? He's saying, understand, what is gospel preaching? The gospel means good news. You'll find in the first verse of this chapter, he said, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. He goes on to say, I preached unto you in verse 2. But then he goes on to say this in verses 3 through 5. He says, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And he was seen. That is the good news, church. The good news is this, that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. He died on Calvary. He went to the grave and he got up. Man, how wonderful is that? But Paul was saying, if there was no resurrection, he said, I might as well quit preaching. Right. Hear me. And that's why he says this in verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain. Understand this. If Christ did not rise, the whole gospel is subverted. If Jesus did not rise, then our message is pointless. Silence all preachers. Shut all church doors. It is all pointless. If he did not get up from the grave, it would all be pointless. We'd have no reason even to be here today. That's how important it is That's how critical it is, friend. Because hear me today, because it is important. This would make all preaching a sham. It would make all Christian charlatans. We would be no different from the rest of the false religions in the world if Jesus did not get up.
Amen, amen.
I ain't ready to accept that. I'm not going to sit here this morning. It's hard for me to preach this, to be honest. Because I'm anti-skeptic. But studying this, I felt it in my spirit, Brother Glenn. I begin to feel the implications that is tied to it. And understand if there's ever anything that's under attack, it is the Christian doctrine. It is the fact that He got up. But isn't it amazing? The most two celebrated holidays in this world are the two most skeptical holidays, the virgin birth, the birth of Christmas, and the resurrection at Easter. Hear me today, friend, because this is important. Not only if Jesus did not rise from the grave, not only is our preaching pointless, but also the Bible says this. He says, your faith also is in vain. He says this in verse 14, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Paul was saying, if Jesus did not get up from the grave, that word vain means empty in the Bible. He said, every man here that's believed and sacrificed and prayed is all in vain. Mm-hmm. Now, over the years, there's some of you in here have been serving God for many years. But if Jesus didn't get up from the grave, it's in vain. Every time you prayed, every time you read your Bible, every time you fasted, we could say with David in Psalm 73, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain. We could say with Isaiah in chapter 49 and 4, then I said I have labored in vain, all for nothing. You are trusting in a lie if He did not rise. You put your trust in a delusion. It is empty, it is vain, there is no hope, and we're grasping for nothing if He didn't get up. Hear me today, friend, because this is important. It is a fact, not only is your faith in vain, but the faith of every person who has ever lived and trusted in God.
Right.
That means you would have to go to Hebrews chapter 11 in the hall of faith and say, Moses, it was all for no reason.
Right.
You would have to look at Enoch to walk with God and say, Enoch, you sacrificed and you walked with God. It was all pointless. It was all for no reason. You did it all for nothing. It was all in vain. You would have to look at Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. You would have to look at David and the prophets and Gideon and Samson. You would have to look at Barak and Noah and Samuel and Elijah and Elisha. You would have to look at Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel. And on the list goes and say it was all in vain if Jesus did not get up. Not only that, you'd have to look at the loved ones that's gone before and say you held on your whole life. You went to the deathbed hanging on to the fact that Jesus was there for you and it was empty. Do you feel that? Do you feel the emptiness of that? That everything we believe and everything we teach and preach, if it did not happen, it was all in vain. Not only that, not only is our preaching vain, not only is our faith in vain, if Jesus did not get up from the grave, understand this, the Apostle Paul said this in 15, yea, we are found false witnesses of God. That means the Apostle Paul was saying, if He didn't get up from the grave, I'm a liar. He was saying, I did all this. Everything we've said is not true. I'm not ready to believe that, church. I'm not ready to look at men like Brother Glenn and say, Brother, it was all in vain. It was all empty. I'm not ready to look at brothers and sisters of the faith and preachers of the faith that have held on for years and years and say that it was all in vain. But the Apostle Paul was saying, if He did not get up from the grave, we are false witnesses. And this is a legal vocabulary. Paul was saying, we have been drawn to court. We have given testimony. And it has found out to be a lie. Paul is saying, just like going to court, if you bear a false witness, they completely throw it out and say it has no use here. It has no standing here. If He didn't get up from the grave. Understand not only this has profound implications. Hear me. Because if the apostles are false witnesses and liars of the gospel, they are the writers of the New Testament. So that means this Bible that we believe, that means all of the New Testament is no good if Jesus didn't get up from the grave. Not only is the New Testament no good, but there are many prophecies in the Old Testament that was given by David and many other men of God that said there was going to be one that would come as sinless. There would be one that came and overcame the death. So not only is the New Testament no good, but that makes the Old Testament false as well. If He didn't get up from the grave. And if God cannot lie, that would make the Bible not the Word of God. Make sense? If Jesus did not get up from the grave. Not only that, friend, but Jesus said He would come out of the grave. That would make Jesus the very Son of God. That would make Him a false witness as well. So understand this today. If there's a skeptic in the building, or if you're here and you're just looking at Calvary, and you're just looking at the cross, you're just looking at the resurrection, and you're impartial to it, you're not convinced by it. That's what John said this in 1 John 5 and 10. He said, "He that believeth not God hath made him a liar." I didn't say that. John did. I just read you the Bible. So unbelief in what God has accomplished would make us liars. If I look at Jesus and said it didn't happen, I refuse that. I don't believe He got up. The Bible says that would make God a liar, but I would turn that around as the Bible says, God cannot lie, so who's a liar? Who does it turn on? Turns on us. So understand, if Jesus did not get up from the grave, to deny the resurrection is to deny all the authenticity and the integrity of the authority of the Word of God, and everything begins to tumble down on top of us. If Jesus did not rise. Now, not only that, but something on a more serious note, and hear me this morning. Not only is our preaching in vain if He didn't get up, not only is our faith in vain, not only does that make everything in the Word of God and every apostle a false witness, but Paul goes on to say this in verse 17, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins." That means if He didn't get up from the grave, everybody's a sinner here today. That means judgment is still on your life. You know today if you're not born again, you're under God's judgment. You say, I don't see the instant repercussions. You will. The judgment of God is revealed. There's things taking place you don't even know. But He's long-suffering and merciful. But understand, if you're born again today and Jesus did not get up from the grave, that means we're still under God's eternal damnation. That means that there's still sin there. This is so important because it carries eternal damnation. It is serious. You see, you need a Savior. You needed a sacrifice. You needed somebody to pay your penalty. You needed somebody to be your substitute, to die in your place. And there's only one that could have done it. And if He came and left without doing what needed to be done, we're wasting our time. There's not but one Jesus. And there wasn't but one sinless sacrifice. And if Jesus was still in the grave, church, hear me. That would mean that God would have looked at Him in that tomb and say, "I do not accept what He did." Oh God. I mean, God's looking at Him and saying, "That did not appease me. I did not consume sin in His life. Everything He went through was to no avail." Now I'm telling you, friend, I feel the Holy Ghost here to tell us, if you're here today and you mock the blood of Christ, and you're here today and with unbelief in your heart, you're looking at Calvary, you're looking at the tomb and saying, "I don't believe it." And God's looking at you saying, "You accept it. It is the only route." I'm telling you, if He did not rise from the grave, that is it. We're still sinners. Hear me. If He didn't succeed, there isn't anywhere else to go. That was it. If He didn't get up from the grave, all of you here are just going to live your life and die and be under God's judgment. Christ and Christ alone was the one that could do it. Only Him alone. So that means God's still holding sinners guilty. That means there is no forgiveness. That means there is no reconciliation. There is no justification. There is no eternal life. Understand this, but Paul goes a step further. Hear me. He goes on and says this, "Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." Not only Paul was saying, if he didn't get up from the grave, everyone that's died with their faith in Christ are perishing in eternal torment. If he didn't get up from the grave, that means men like my grandfather that held and took off loads of watermelons to trade for a load of bricks to build a church and labored his whole life as with a pioneering spirit. That means today he's under God's judgment and the flames if Jesus didn't get up from the grave. Understand, you must get the seriousness of this. I refuse to say all of those that are gone before us. I refuse to say all of them that are went into heaven that we believe are in hell today. I know that Jesus died for us. But Paul goes on to say this. He says, if Jesus didn't rise from the grave, we are of all men most miserable. That word miserable really means pitiful. He's saying here this, if we had put all our eggs in this one big Easter basket, and it's not real, and it's all fake, he said, if we have hope in Christ in this life alone, we are pitiful. It's a shame. And it does not separate us from any other false religion in this world, because their religion is vain, not ours. We can look at the Islamists and the Buddhists and know that they're serving of God for this, serving a God for this life only. But there is nothing in the by and by for them. That is what separates us, because we know that Jesus was the only one that got up from the grave. Muhammad didn't give us a son. God did. Buddha didn't provide a sacrifice. They kind of throw you in there and say, I hope you make it. But God is making a way for us. This means that our salvation, all the discipline, overcoming temptation, reaching for souls, giving to missions, reading and praying and being faithful, all of this is pitiful. If Christ did not get up from the grave. You don't know it today. If you're a believer here today or not, some of you, I mean many know it. But we live this life in the light of eternity. We do what we do because we know there's another life. We know there's a heaven to gain. We know that. So you understand today, if Christ did not rise, our preaching is in vain, our faith is in vain, the apostle liars, we are still sinners, and we are miserable and pitiful. You see, you cannot tamper with the resurrection. If you tamper with the resurrection, you start just dismantling everything. Everything falls to pieces, but I'm not going to leave you there this morning. And Paul didn't leave us there in 1 Corinthians 15. He goes on to say in verse 20, after he lists all those things that would happen if Christ did not rise, in verse 20 it says this, but now is Christ risen from the dead. He's going on saying, and become the first fruits of them that slept. Paul is saying, look, you're preaching in vain. Your faith is in vain. Apostles are liars. We're still sinners and you're miserable. If he didn't get up, but he got up. He arose. He resurrected. So we could take that and go opposite and say, keep on preaching. We could say, keep your faith. We could say, the apostles are true. We could say, you are forgiven. And we could say, be happy because you ain't got a pity in this. He got up. He rose from the grave. The Old Testament said it. It is trustworthy. The New Testament said it. And it's trustworthy. Jesus promised it. And He delivered it. The apostles preached it. And it told the truth. The empty tomb proves it. The empty tomb proves it. And 500 people that saw Him on the Mount, they seen it. It happened. It's amazing, in a false religion, you don't need but one person to say something, everybody believes it. We can prove time after time in Scripture that it happened, and everybody says, I don't know about that. You can make God a liar if you want to, but I choose to believe that it's real. I choose to believe that it's happened. I choose to believe I'm going to heaven if I live an overcoming life. I'm going to be resurrected one day, reunited with my body, along with my family and all those that have gone before, because He did rise. Hear me today. The Bible goes on to say He became the first fruits of them that slept. He was the first one. He was the first one. In America, we get happy. Right, brothers? They flew the first airplane. That's good. So-and-so created the MRI machine. I forgot his name. He was the first one to do that. Oh my, He created the first light bulb. Edison's amazing. Look, so-and-so did this. He was the first one. And guess what? Jesus is the first one. Be happy about it. Number one, nobody else did it but Him. He is the first one to overcome death, hell, and the grave. Uno. Number one, He gets the blue ribbon, church. Among every other god in this world, He's number one. And we're serving Him. And we come to church and sing to Him. And we open our Bible and we hear what He has to say to us. We close our eyes and pray and we feel the warmth of His love. We look at our loved ones that's gone before and say, I'm going to be with them. When my wife had that miscarriage a few months ago, I was praying and asking God for strength. My mind went to David, where David said, you know what? He cannot come to me, but oh, I can go to where He is. He's letting us know there is a resurrection. Abraham would have sacrificed Isaac on that altar, believing in a resurrection. It is real. We're not charlatans. We are believing in something that really happened.
Yeah.
It's real. And that's why we read in Acts 5 and 31, it says, He hath God exalted at His right hand to be the Prince and the Savior. I studied this a little bit and I want you to hear me. Give your attention. That word Prince in the Bible, when you look it up, it means archegos. It is a chief leader. It is an author. It is a captain. It is a prince. And in the biblical times, when they were doing seafaring or going out on ships, they always had a man on the ship that was considered to be one of the prince of the shipmates. And he was one that was a good swimmer. Hear me, this is history and this is fact. He was a good swimmer. He was somebody that had more ability than the others. He had a very formidable task. When something would happen to the ship and it would get stuck on a rock or it would get stuck in shallow waters, this man that was called the archegos of the ship, he would jump overboard with a rope that was tied around his waist. He would swim through the dark waters. He would swim through the waves. He would press past everything he had to and try his best to make it to the shoreline. Then that rope that was around his waist was tied to a bigger rope. And he would take that bigger rope and he would anchor it on land. He would find something to anchor to, be it a rock or be it a tree, something big enough that could hold that ship, and everybody else on the ship would jump overboard and would hold on to that rope and would make their way to the shoreline to safety. So when the Bible says that Jesus was our archegos, He's saying He was the one that was the author and went before you. You study this out, and I just got this jotted down from my memory. He dove into the depths of the water of death. He had not, if He had drowned, we would have had no way to the shoreline. But He did not drown. He made it through the dark waters of death. And He anchored a line in heaven. He has anchored it around the throne of God. Hebrews says this, we have an anchor there that we all may make it safely to heaven. I'm telling you, friends, He got up from the grave. He went to the right hand of the Father. There is access. There's an entrance made. He got up and we're going to make it. All because He did get up. He did get up. My wife makes her way to the piano. Understand today, Paul was dealing with this group of people and saying, if he didn't get up, I'm wasting my time. If he didn't get up, put your faith in something else. If he didn't get up, me and the 12 apostles were all telling lies. If he didn't get up, you're still in your sins. If he didn't get up, you should be miserable. But Paul goes on to tell us, he did get up. Can you stand to your feet this morning?